Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, text number 1. Arjuna Vacha, Kim Tad Brahma, Kim Adhyatmam, Kim Karma Purushottama, Adi Bhutam to Kim Protam, Adi Daivam Kim Uchete. Arjuna Vacha, Arjuna said, Kim, what? Tat, that. Brahma, Brahman. Kim, what? Adhyatmam, self. Kim, what? Karma, frivolous activities. Purusha Uttamam, O Supreme Person. Adi Bhutam, the material manifestation. Cha and Kim, what? Proktam is called. Adi Daivam, the demigods. Kim, what? Uchite is called. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are the fruit of activities? What is this material manifestation? What are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Purport. In this chapter, Lord Krishna answers different questions from Arjuna, beginning with what is Brahman? The Lord also explains karma, fruit of activities, devotional service and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In addition, the living entity of the individual soul is also called Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to body, soul, and mind. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to the mind, soul, body, and senses also. Arjuna is addressed to the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not to simply a friend, but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the Supreme Authority, able to give definitive answers. Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam Kim Karma Purushottama Adi Bhutam to Kim Protam Adi Daivam Kim Uchite. Supreme Lord Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruit of activities? What is this material manifestation? What are the demigods? Please explain this to me. In the previous verse, Krishna had said, Sari Bhuta Di Daivam Mam Sari Jagna Chaye Bidu Priyana Kali Chipam Chipate Kalana Kal Prayana Kali Pichamam Te Vidur Yukta Chaitasaha. Those in full consciousness of me, who know me as the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of God, even at the time of death. And the verse before that, Jara Marana Mokshaya, Mama Shritya Tantiye, Te Brahma Tadvidu Kritsnam, Adhyatma Karma Chakilam. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They're actually Brahman because they know entirely everything about transcendental activities. So Arjuna has heard these two verses, and now he wants the definition so he can understand what Krishna was saying. Often someone says something, and we don't want to bother them, and we don't want to bother ourselves to find out what they actually said. So after they repeat whatever they said, we shake our heads and then we go back to sleep. And we just pray to Krishna that don't ask me any questions so I can appear to be intelligent and learned and as if I heard everything. And then someone asks you a question, you say, yes, let me see. What was that book you were reading from? Yes, that was Krishna book. I think it was about something about Krishna. The answer is, chant Hare Krishna. Is that right? We should surrender to Krishna. Or I'm not this body. Yes, you're absolutely right. But you're right, but for the wrong question. By the way, if that bear is going to be here, he shouldn't fall asleep. Did he just come in here or something? What's that? He doesn't look like he looks like he's asleep. And I'll wake him up after class. Otherwise he'll never go home. So Arjuna is intelligent. He's heard two verses from Krishna and now he's inquiring what they mean. Mostly for our sake, but it's very valuable because even simple terms like what does Brahman mean? What does it mean to know Krishna at the time of death? These things are actually very important to know. So although the eighth chapter seems a little bit out of place, because the Bhagavad Gita is divided into three different parts. Does anyone know the three different parts? First part, second part, and third part. That was an easy question. But what are the three parts mean? How many chapters are in the Bhagavad Gita? 18. So what's the first? How many parts in the first part? Yes, yeah, so these will pass the mathematical part. And what does the first six chapters deal with? What's that? Karma yoga. Yes, what else besides karma yoga? What's that? Yes, I mean, but in general, what are the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna said, Prabhupada writes in the purport, in the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the spirit soul has been, the living entity has been defined as a living entity has been defined as a ninth. That doesn't make any sense. The first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the six chapters, clearly explain that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one can know the absolute truth entirely without any doubt. Different types of yogas are only stepping stones in the path of Krishna consciousness, and one who knows Krishna, he knows all these things in full. So the first six chapters deal with the different kinds of yogas that help one elevate oneself to the position of self-realization. So it goes over, there's a setting of the scene, then there's a second chapter which deals with the contents of the Gita summarized, and mostly dealing with karma yoga and sankhya yoga, that we're not this body, the properties of the soul, and the process of renunciation or fruitive activities. And it says, by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, a hint of Bhakti Yoga is given at the end. The third chapter deals with Karma Yoga. The fourth chapter deals with transcendental knowledge. The fifth chapter deals with the application of transcendental knowledge when we're doing activities in Karma Yoga. And the sixth chapter deals with Astanga Yoga, or meditation upon Krishna. So the first six chapters deal with the different kinds of yogas that elevate our consciousness to the point of thinking about Krishna. And in the middle six chapters, what does it deal with? Bhakti yoga, yes, pure devotional service. Now here, in the last six chapters, Jnani yoga, the knowledge that will confirm our choice to elect bhakti yoga. Actually, at the end of every chapter, practically speaking, bhakti yoga is always the conclusion. Just like, as I said before, when you ask any devotee a question, the answer is always Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. So at the end of every chapter, whether it's karma yoga or transcendental knowledge or whatever, it's always the same. Chant Hare Krishna and do devotional service. So you only have to read the last verse in every chapter and you know what the whole thing's about. As a matter of fact, you only have to read one verse. As a matter of fact, you only have to read two words, devotional service. And then you'll know the whole Bhagavad Gita. Or if you only know one word, Krishna, then that's enough. So here, in the middle of the most important chapters of Bhagavad Gita, dealing with devotional service, Arjuna is asking questions. Now, generally we think that Arjuna wouldn't embarrass himself because after all, he already heard the first six chapters. Otherwise, Krishna may think, have you been actually awake during the class? I mean, I just spent 45 minutes telling you the first six chapters, and now you're suddenly asking me questions? But Arjuna is asking these questions for ourselves so that we can understand what devotional service is. The middle six chapters are to explain to us what devotional service is. Because even if we know a karma yoga or transcendental knowledge, or even we can meditate upon Paramatma, Krishna consciousness is beyond the material energy. It's dealing with a different realm of experience. And there's no material experience that can give us the understanding of what spiritual experience is. And therefore it requires a great amount of intelligence and understanding to understand the value when Krishna will finally say in the ninth chapter, which is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mamni Nuskuru Mame Vaishasi Yuktaivam Atmana Matparayanaha. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. The result is you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So this is what's repeated throughout the Bhagavad Gita in different ways. Beginning with Manmana, touch Chinu, hear from me. So it may appear that devotees are wasting their time. They're coming and hearing that we're not this body, Krishna's God. I mean, like a broken record, and why are we wasting our time? We heard it a million times, and we still haven't heard it. But as we keep on hearing it, the example is given like a stone. A stone is pretty hard, but if you keep on dropping a drop of water on the stone, after a long time, eventually the stone will wear away. So if we keep on hearing the simple explanation of Bhagavad Gita, then one day we might realize part of it. And then suddenly it's like, wow, I wonder why I never heard that. Then every word in the Bhagavad Gita becomes significant. Now it may seem boring, you know, why this philosophy? Why not something more interesting, some pastimes that we haven't heard before? You know, Ravana, he displayed eight heads, and suddenly Hanuman divided himself into eight different forms, and whatever, you know, something exciting. Why all this boring philosophy? I mean, look at this bear, he hasn't even... He came here and has absolutely no interest in what we're talking about. He might as well be dead. A I guess he doesn't. He's not worried about transmigrating to a level form. He's already hit the bottom. But it's valuable to hear about it because gradually our intelligence will develop if we follow the principles. And then one day the very simple philosophy of Krishna consciousness will be able to understand, and then our lives will become simple. The problem with material existence is it's very complicated. And spiritual existence is quite simple. So when we become simple, then all the complications of material existence go away, and then we can become peaceful and happy. Nowadays, people are thinking the more we make our lives complicated, the more we're advancing. Yes, the more we're becoming bewildered and the more we're putting into anxiety because we don't know what the future will be. We don't know who we are. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why things are happening because we don't know anything. But when we know things and everything becomes simple, and then we can understand that ultimately Krishna is everywhere. Nothing is happening by accident. That coronavirus will not kill us. Krishna will kill us. Better to be killed by Krishna than some coronavirus. And actually, Krishna won't kill us, as I said before, because we can't die, because we're eternal. And he can't kill our body because we're already dead. Just like this bear. Everyone knows it's dead, so no one's worried about the bear dying. But similarly, our bodies are exactly made of the same elements that the bear is. The only difference is that we're in the body, we think we're alive, and we think the bear is dead. But actually, our body is just as dead as the bear is. But only because we're in the body and we think it's alive, that the body appears to be alive. And when we leave the body, then we think it's dead, but it was always dead. But the nice thing is that Krishna is controlling everything, and this chapter revealed to us that we have a choice where we're going to go after this body. And that will be determined by what we're doing while we're in the body. Where this whole life is just a preparation for our next existence. So we utilize it wisely, then we can get a very auspicious existence and even a spiritual existence. And if we don't use it wisely, well, here's an example in the back there. That's what happens when you don't use it wisely. Even you come to class, you won't listen. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Finally, Arjuna asked all these questions. And he inspired someone to ask a question.
What would be proper meditation the day before Krishna Jamashtami? What should be our mantra?
Take shelter of Krishna. Read Bhagavad Gita and follow his advice. Not that Krishna comes and we celebrate his birthday and we look forward for 12 o'clock when we finally eat the birthday cake. No, the real point of Janmasthami is actually so we become aware of how great and wonderful Krishna is, so we can read Bhagavad Gita and serve him. We can't serve Krishna unless we hear his instructions, unless we hear who we are through the words of Krishna and what's going on in this world and what Krishna wants us to do. So Janmasthami is the inspiration ultimately to read, study, and apply Bhagavad Gita. Even Srimad Bhagavatam is just an expansion of Bhagavad Gita. And even Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the books are all based upon the basic conceptions that are in Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna's existence is here. He came here not only to show his pastimes, but especially for us to speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna so we can become eligible to understand his pastimes. Otherwise, there's no way we can enter into it. The mystery of Krishna's understanding. Anything else? Yes.
So, you said that our body is as dead as the bear's one. So, if you can give some more subtitles, like there are some perspectives in Srimad Bhagavatam that, like, our life, material life, is like as much real as dream.
Dream.
But on the other hand, sometimes it's written that like this material energy is Krishna's energy, so it's real.
Well, a dream is real too. It's just temporary. And the experience is temporary. No one lives forever in the dream, so no one lives forever in this body. So the only difference between the dreams and the and is made out of Krishna's subtle energy. It's real. It's there. It's an experience. But it's only temporary. That's why it's unreal. The real things are eternal. They don't change. And besides that, the way we look at the material energy is all wrong. We think one way, but it's actually it's 99.9% space, according to the science. And it's just energy. It's just ever-changing earth, water, fire, air, you know, energy that appears to be solid, but is actually just mostly space. Energy which holds things together, which is water. Energy which is changes things, converts things, which is fire. Energy that moves things, which is air. And energy that holds things in place, which is ether. And the subtle mind, intelligence, and false ego. It appears one way, but actually it's something completely different. Just Krishna's energy, under Krishna's energy's control, under Krishna's control, appearing in different forms like a dream to us. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.